We're in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Miss Pat mentioned she was in Matthew chapter 5. If you're reading through using the journal, I think that's about where we're at, Matthew chapter 5 or 6 in there. Matthew chapter 4, I'm going to read, and this is a familiar account, but I'm going to read the first 11 verses. And I just want to point out some things and let it be an encouragement to all of us tonight. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was in afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Here in this account, we see, I'm kind of focusing first on the fact that Jesus fasted, okay? Jesus fasted. Now, biblical fasting is, it's the free will practice or practice of our own free will of abstaining from food or some pleasure in life for the purpose of devoting yourself to God and concentrating on spiritual goals, particularly maybe the goal of defeating spiritual enemies or overcoming the lusts of the flesh. And there's much to say about fasting, the practice of fasting, but that's not really the point here that I'm bringing out. But because of Jesus' fasting, he was hungered. He was hungry. The science says that the human body can go, 60 to 70 days without food. Okay? But after just a few hours, the body starts to use its own fat stores, and after a few days, it starts to eat its own muscle and organ tissue. Things like extreme fatigue and shortness of breath and muscle weakness and losing of hair and feeling cold and bone loss are taking place when you fast that long. So after fasting for 40 days, I am sure Jesus was quite hungry. My soul, after, you and I, after a few hours, get really hungry. Okay? After a day without food, we are famished. Anything longer than that, we start to long for the cardboard box that the pizza comes in. Okay? So the Bible says that Jesus was hungered. He had a need. Okay? When we are hungry, we want to satisfy that need. When we are hungry, we can easily give in to temptation. Okay? When we are hungry, we can tend to lose focus on what is important to God. Biblically, we're given instruction, oh, by the way, as to what we really should hunger for in Matthew 5, 6. Miss Pat's right there in the scriptures. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst," he says, "after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Well, have you ever been famished? Okay? After a day of not eating, you can feel that way. Jesus fasted for 40 days. There's no doubt that after 40 days, he was suffering some. Remember, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, 100% God, and 100% man, all at the same time. We praise God for that. And in his 100% humanity, he had all the physical feelings and trials and needs that we do. He was tempted in all points as we are. We know that from Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. For that he himself, speaking of Jesus, hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. In other words, help, assist, and comfort, because he feels and felt those things in human flesh that we feel. In Hebrews 4:15, the Bible explains to us, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, speaking of Jesus Christ, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We can trust when the Bible says that he knows what we're going through. He does. This Bible verse explains it, and I'm thankful for that. He knows our needs. He knows our trials. He knows our temptations. But here, Jesus had a need. You and I have needs. Sometimes, literally, it is hunger. We need food, okay? Maybe you have fasted, or maybe you've gone a long while without eating for some reason. Maybe it is a need for sleep or rest. For me, I don't hunger at camp. No, I don't hunger at camp. Gourmet Gretna and her staff keep us all well fed, okay? And even Dave Latterman, you should watch him. He chases me around with a food tray to make sure I eat. But at camp, I lack sleep. By the first morning of camp, Tuesday morning, I'm already sleep deprived. I need sleep. I have that need at camp. But maybe for you, it's need of healing for yourself or someone you love. Maybe your need is a provision in your life. A car needs fixed. A bill needs paid. You need help getting everything done in a constrained amount of time. Maybe your need is physical or material, or maybe it's not a physical or material need. Maybe it's a need to have a prayer answered. Maybe it's wisdom you need from God. Maybe it's direction you need from God, or a decision you're trying to make, or wisdom on how to handle a situation. Maybe it's boldness you need to witness to somebody, or maybe it's godly humility you need to go and speak with someone you need to apologize to. I don't know, but your life and my life are full of needs. Well, what does Jesus' example here teach us about when we have a need? What did Jesus do when he was and hungered, when he had this need? Number one, Jesus did not surrender to his flesh. Okay, if you look at verses 3 and 4, what we just read, when the tempter came to him, he said, Satan's words, if you be the Son of God. We know he's the Son of God. Command that these stones be made bread. He was in hunger. Okay, he was hungry. We can hear the devil's emphasis here. If thou be the Son of God, as if he were saying, you, a poor, starving, emaciated being, famished and perishing with hunger, you, the Son of God? Even without Satan suggesting that he might make some stones, turn them into some nice, warm, crusty bread slathered with butter on it to satisfy his physical need, Jesus knew that he could do that. After all, he is the Son of God. Later in Jesus' life, we know he turned the water into wine. He heals the sick and lame. He commands the weather. He knows men's thoughts. He is the Son of God. Of course he could have done that. He could have turned the stones into bread to satisfy his need. He could have taken things into his own hands and done so. There was nothing wrong with being hungry and nothing wrong with wanting to satisfy the legitimate craving. But the evil suggestion, or the evil in the suggestion by Satan, was that Christ would have had to act in independence of the Holy Spirit, who led him into the wilderness, and act in independence of the Father who had permitted him to be deprived of this bodily sustenance for a reason. Satan was suggesting that Jesus used the resources of his sonship to violate the responsibility of his sonship. The responsibility was never to act in independence of his father. Okay? Our flesh, your flesh and my flesh, wants us to do so, to act independent of the Holy Spirit. Think of your need tonight. So think if you have a need or just one of these things maybe I mentioned or something I didn't mention, think of that need tonight. Or maybe you have multiple needs, needs that maybe even you prayed about tonight, needs that you desperately want or need the Lord to answer, to provide. And you're tempted to act independent of him, to formulate your own way or just do something about it because nothing seems to be happening. And still you have this need. Jesus did not surrender to his flesh. Okay, the Bible tells us that he was hungry. And I am sure that hunger affected him deeply. Our physical needs, our emotional needs, our spiritual needs, our material needs can affect us all very deeply. But before you get down the road of acting on your own, acting independent of the Holy Spirit, let us take Jesus' example. He did not do his own thing. He did not use his own power to deal with this hunger himself. He fought back with the word of God. We often go to these verses and we see in these verses that Jesus went to the word. And of course, that's what we're saying tonight, but that's a reminder as well. But he did not use his own power to deal with his hunger himself. He fought back with the word of God. These words that he used here are from Deuteronomy 8:3, where Moses was rehearsing God's great acts to the Israelites, and part of it said, "And that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." So Moses is rehearsing those words to the Israelites. Jesus went back to the word of God before striking out on his own to solve his own situation. I'm not saying that we just sit back and let situations just happen or come what may, or that we don't, you know, let them just play out as they will, or not deal appropriately with them. You know, God gives us wisdom to plan. God gives us wisdom to prepare. God gives us wisdom to think ahead and so forth. But all too often, we do things in our own wisdom. We do things in our own strength. We do things with our own emotions and feelings instead of going to the Word of God first. Here's some good instruction. You know the verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I have to go back to these verses over and over again. I almost quote them. I should be able to, but do I really apply them? And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let him turn the stones into bread. Okay? Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Can you do that with your need? Can you do that in your particular need right now? Will you go to the Lord first? If there's no answer as of yet, no provision as of yet, will you continue to go to the Lord? This is what Jesus did. He didn't surrender to his flesh. He didn't surrender to his own way. And nor should you and I in our needs, whatever those needs may be. Number two, Jesus did not surrender to lies. He didn't surrender to his flesh, and he didn't surrender to lies. Look at verses 5, 6, and 7 in our text here. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, I would like Jesus to say, duh, I am the Son of God, okay? But if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus stayed focused on the Word of God. He knew it. He knew the Word of God. A good example for you and I, that when Satan twisted Scripture or misquoted Scripture on purpose. Satan was using Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. If you look there in Psalm 91, in verses 11 and 12, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Satan was urging the Lord here, Satan was, to be presumptuous and not trusting. We've already read some verses about trusting in the Lord. There's a fine line between trusting God and tempting God. Wasn't it magnificent when Peter stepped out in faith from the boat on the water? And, that was by invitation of the Lord. Peter did that. But it would have been presumptuous of Peter to do so if he had done that under any other circumstance, like testing God. Okay? There's a fine line. There's a fine line. And here in this situation, Satan also omitted, it's very interesting, look at Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. It's very interesting when Satan quoted this, so Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, he left out verse 13. Verse 13 in Psalm 91 says, "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." Satan conveniently left that one out, okay? So he's misquoting Scripture, trying to get the Lord to be presumptuous there. He left that out. Naturally, Satan didn't want that verse to be in there. Thus, in handling Scripture, Satan twisted it to serve his own purpose. He eagerly accepted an addition and deliberately left something out and ignored the context and all of that. But the Lord knew his Bible better. Better than to be taken in by Satan's garbled version of this messianic psalm in Psalm 91. Satan craftily used the Word of God to lie to Jesus and be deceitful. And you know, the same can happen to you and I in our time of need. Now, most likely, it's probably not going to be someone out and out lying to you or deceiving you. Well, it could be. You know, there are people, unfortunately, that would seize the opportunity to do that. But mostly it's our own selves that tend to lie to our own selves. That sounds a little crazy, but it's true. When we have that need, that deep need, that urgent need, that long-awaited need, what can we say to ourselves sometimes? Self, what are you waiting for? Do something. God hasn't answered by now. He probably has forgotten about you and your need. Oh, he has the resources to meet that need, but so-and-so around the corner needed it more, and so he reallocated that to them. Oh, someone else was praying for the opposite, and their prayer was longer, more heartfelt, more powerful than yours, so you lost out. Hey, remember that sin that you did last week? Even though you confessed that sin and asked God to forgive you and trusted in 1 John 1:19. Yeah, that sin. It's keeping your prayers from being answered. All of those are lies. They're lies, all lies. Lies we tell ourselves and lies we believe. Jesus didn't surrender to Satan's lies, and nor should we. And how do we decipher if we're starting to believe a lie? By the Word of God. By the Word of God. The Word of God is light. Light lightens our path. My Sunday school class, we've been through some verses on that light. Ephesians 5:13. "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Psalm 119:105. You know this verse. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We won't know that light unless we're in the light. "For the commandment is a lamp," Proverbs 6:23. "The commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Remember, even in the second part, Jesus is still hungry. He still had this need. The need hadn't been met yet, and Satan is buffeting him with lies. And it can be the same for you and me when we are in our time of need. You know, maybe it's that need of sleep or rest, or that need of a prayer to be answered, or healing, or some provision in your life. Remember, the application, the exhortation is, don't give in, don't surrender to Satan's lies. Get into the Word. Jesus did not give in to Satan's lies. Get into the Word. Use the Word just like Jesus. He didn't give in to his flesh. He didn't give in to lies. And finally, he did not surrender to doubt. We have times of doubt, don't we? We do. Does the Lord want us to have times of doubt? No, he doesn't want us to have times of doubt. And certainly the Lord does not want us to surrender to doubt. And in our text, Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, the Bible says again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, remember, and it showed him all the kingdoms of the earth, right? And he said, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And of course, Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, and went to the Word of God. Here is what Satan was saying to Christ. Look at the glory and pomp of this world's empires, the power of Assyria and Babylon and Persia and of Greece and the majesty of imperial Rome. I gave it, the world, to Alexander, and now I've given it to Caesar. You're, Jesus, you're a much bigger man. You're much a better man than they are. Think how the world longs for a king like you. You're a king. All you need is a throne. Think how much good you can do. You can bring in new laws. You can make new regulations. You can bring your program into effect. Think of it. A carpenter of Nazareth crowned emperor of the world. And it all can be yours. It all can be yours if you would just give me one brief bend of a knee. All you have to do is render unto me one act of homage. I offer you everything this world contains. All the kingdoms, all the power, and all the glory, and no cross. In other words, Satan was saying to him, among other things, Jesus, your father is not being fair to you. You have no food, no fame, no fortune. You're not being taken care of. Does your father really love you? Your needs aren't being met. But Jesus did not give in to these thoughts. For him, I'm sure they were not even doubts. Jesus enjoyed the close, intimate fellowship and relationship with his Father that you and I should long for, strive for, and we could have if it were not for our sinful nature always getting in the way. Well, in our time of need, maybe it's that long time of need, our painful need, our great trial, sometimes we can ask, are you really there, Lord? Do you really hear? You really care? Can you really do this? Do you hear me? Doubts, doubts, doubts. Jesus did not give in to those thoughts that his heavenly Father was not giving him enough or treating him well, or not, he wasn't treating him well. And nor should we in our time of need. What did Jesus do? He went back to the Word of God, and then he said, Satan, get away from me. And he ran to the Word of God. And we know some verses that talk to us about drawing nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to us. James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That's what the Bible tells us. And what's the ending of all this? In verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Well, very briefly tonight, we've seen in this example, the Lord just brought this to my heart as he had this need. He was in hungered, and it was a need. He was 100% man and 100% God. But in our times of need, when we have needs, what are some things that will help us deal with those needs and do it right? Do not surrender to our flesh, but go to God. Do not surrender to lies, but go to God. And do not surrender to doubt, but go to God. Go to God. Well, I hope that's been a help to you tonight, an encouragement. Maybe there's a need that you've been praying about that this can be a help to. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.